Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. We'll scan the headlines making news in some of our North Shore newspapers and have a little discussion on the news subjects, news topics as well. So thanks so much for being with us on this Wednesday, the very first day of the month of June. And looking at, we got the item in front of us today from Lynn. We've got the Salem News, the Gloucester Times. And Rick, let's begin with the Gloucester Times. And a new principal at Gloucester High School has been named.
Yeah, and I want to give the Gillnetter, the Gloucester High School newspaper, credit for, quote, breaking that story, unquote, as there was an email, I believe it was Monday night, from the superintendent of schools to parents of kids at the high school informing us of the selection of James Cook as the new principal. And James is program leader at the high school in the English department and a very, very popular choice. But the Gillnetter broke the story so that James Cook is principal. He has been at the high school since 1999. He's a program leader. He has been very active with the union. He's a soccer coach. He was the boys' soccer coach, very successful for a few years before relinquishing that post to spend more time with his own children. He's got a kid in the at the O'Malley School, another kid in elementary school. But from all accounts, a very popular choice. And I personally have worked think it's a great choice. James is a very intelligent, compassionate guy with a great sense of fairness, but also he has a vision. He's very professional, and I think he's going to push that school to new heights, and I'm really excited. I know the kids and the staff are pretty well on board with this selection as well.
All right, so Gloucester High School has a new principal, and so that's great, and there were a couple of other finalists, and one of them was from Beverly, and I think one was from further on out. But you would know that. But anyways, it's Mr. Cook as the new principal at Gloucester High School. We also have you have the congressman up in Gloucester today as well. Congressman Seth Moulton will be in the Fish City.
Yeah, there's a new Veterans Administration facility on Main Street in Gloucester. It used to be the old Goldman's building. Goldman's, I believe, was a kid's clothing store. I can't really remember if it was more than that, but I know that they had a lot of kid's stores. And then it was something else. It was some kind of a church after that. But it's across the street from the old Cameron's Restaurant, for those of you who are familiar with Gloucester's Main Street. It's on sort of the east side of Main Street by CVS Marketplace and not CVS, Walgreens. Do I have that right? Yeah, Walgreens. But anyway, it will be opening up at 199 Main Street Wednesday today. There will be a ribbon-cutting ceremony with Congressman Moulton at 1 p.m. It's a Veterans Administration clinic, so a lot of excitement around that as well. Construction workers have been working there months and months and months refurbishing that building.
The representative was also outspoken yesterday in apparently a conference call. Thomas Grillo of the Item has a story. He's the city editor of the Item. What did he do? He charged the presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump with dishonoring veterans. The sacred commitment of honoring our nation's veterans and their families is being undermined by Donald Trump, who constantly disrespects veterans, and by Republicans in the House whose policies, priorities could seriously undercut veterans programs, Moulton said in a conference call yesterday. So, whatever. I don't know if there's any news there. I mean, I also know Donald Trump yesterday announced his $5.6 million to veterans organizations, the donations that he had raised. But maybe they wouldn't have been coming so fast if the Washington Post hadn't been pressing him on that in the last couple of weeks as well. So, for that information, but
what did you say? What did you say? 5.6? Is that what you said?
Yeah, something like that. I think it was 5.6.
Well, yeah, they had on, I think it was ABC News last night or one of the news channels. They had three different speeches, Trump speaking about how it was $6 million that he gave. So okay, it's only a $400,000 difference, and if you round up to the nearest million, yeah, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. Speaking of that, I don't know the ABC News reporter. I just caught the news highlights of the press conference last night on the news. But Donald went after the ABC reporter, called him a sleaze. I haven't heard that word in a long time, huh? But anyways.
Nothing like taking the high road.
Yeah, but yeah, that's, you know, again, you don't hear that word all the time, but they dug that one out of the playbook from a long time ago. But anyways, That's where we're at right now on the presidential campaign. I'm trying to think here. Well, so the Salem News has a story today, and now I'm not on that story, so I got to get back to it here. But it has to do with the Peabody Essex Museum and the fact that they are going to look for some expansion. They have a $49 million project set to begin construction at some point later this year, but it will add another building to the museum, and it will come before one of the city boards tonight, it appears. So on the front page of the Salem News and the Dustin Lucas story, they do have an architect's rendering of what the project would look like, what it looks like now, and where the additional building would be. But so they do have that information on the building. Rick, you also have some information on the IRS scams that some of the police departments are sending out word on that, right?
Yeah, we got a press release from the Rockport Police a couple of days ago that we posted. We do have the entire press release posted up on our website. But other cities and towns are getting a lot of complaints about the IRS scam that's going on. And apparently what's happening is people are receiving phone calls, and sometimes it's more than once. There's a story in the paper in the Gloucester Times that one person, individual, received four phone calls on this IRS scam. And according to the police chiefs in the area, the IRS will never, and they underline and emphasize in bold print and capital letters, the IRS will never ask you for money over the phone. So if you get something allegedly from the IRS, hang up on them, and then you could probably find the real IRS phone number and give them a call for verification. But they warn people, you know, please don't send any money, don't give out any information over the phone. You should never do that anyway.
No, not at all. And but don't expect to get a lot of help when you call the IRS either. I'm not sure that'll work out for you, but good luck to you. Just hope you don't get scammed, basically. Just don't give out any information, that's for sure, over the phone like that.
Yeah, and maybe you should let your local police know, because according to the paper, the police do notify the FBI, and the FBI looks into it.
Yeah. Those phone scams are so sophisticated now. That'd be worth a story, actually, to figure out, to hear some of those scams, because people have some elaborate, I mean, even the caller ID stuff that that folks can put on their caller IDs and so on to kind of mask different things. Just kind of interesting stuff that I don't know a lot about, but I think might be interesting. We also had a pedestrian was hit and killed while trying to cross Route 1A north in Revere last night. Happened at about 9:30 p.m. It's in today's item. It was also on the morning news on television, but apparently the victim was crossing against the light at the time. So, and of course, 9:30 at night, it was dark out, and so that's one of those things. So, unfortunate news there from Revere.
Very sad.
Also, Rick, this was a story that I saw somewhere else, but Ethan Foreman writes this story, and it's basically about, now if I can get back to it here, hold on here. Yeah, here it is. Number of homeless families living in hotels and motels in Danvers has dropped. As you know, Danvers had a bunch of those hotels in the community, and they were being used by the state for housing. As of May 24th, there were 59 families living in motels as part of the Department of Housing and Community Development. The families were all living in a single location, one of the Boston hotels, the extended stay on Route 1. But a year ago, that was at 162 families. So that's quite a cut in the number of families. So 59 families down from 162 families spread among three home hotels from a little less than a year ago, so whatever, so or 3 years ago. So those numbers have come down.
Yeah, well, that's good. And yeah. I think that, you know, Republicans and Democrats agree, I think in general, hopefully, that, you know, the so-called entitlement programs are necessary and they're a good thing for a prosperous country, but the mismanagement of them is something else. And so when you can get people situated where, you know, there's an unfair amount of money being spent and get away from that, that's a good thing. So good luck to obviously good luck to everyone.
Yeah. And I'm just not quite sure. We also talked about this regionalization piece, but we talked about the Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito was in Lynn yesterday. She was in there touring some of the economic development work that's been going on in the city with the mayor and also with James Cowdell, who's head of the EDIC, which is the Economic Development and Industrial Corp of the city of Lynn. Then later on, I believe, she's in Salem, the lieutenant governor, with Mayor Driscoll. There's a photo of her with Mayor Driscoll signing a compact with the regionalization with a number of different towns, which include, what, Peabody, Danvers, Middleton, Georgetown, Essex, Beverly's in there as well. And so I don't know all what that means, but working on some regionalization among some of the North Shore cities and towns.
And I would invite people to take a look at Trending Now, or take a listen to Trending Now from last Friday. The Gloucester health nurse, public health nurse, has some really insightful and important information about baby boomers and hepatitis C. There's a free screening clinic taking place, I believe it's next week in Gloucester, and then a free, not a free screening clinic, but rather an informational hour, and then a free screening clinic after that sometime in July. So take a look at that on our website. Take a listen.
All right, Rick, shall we transition to sports right now?
I'm all over that. Let's do it. You've been everywhere, speaking of all over it.
Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff up there on the website, some more stuff going up today. St. John's Prep Baseball in the Super 8 tournament again, and they've been in it every year. They've had the tournament. This year they draw the number 3 seed and take on Braintree this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Braintree is the defending state champs. We have an interview up there with Coach Dan Letarte from St. John's Prep, and maybe we'll pop it up on our post here as well so folks can see it. He runs down the pitching matchup, some other notes from St. John's Prep Baseball. And so that's that'll be on our website today. It went up there last night, but that game is today. All the other tournament baseball games later on, I think they'll start on Thursday. Softball pairings and baseball pairings were announced yesterday. Kevin Moran is the new baseball coach at Bishop Fenwick High School boys basketball. That came out yesterday. And we also got some lacrosse stories. The girls' lacrosse started yesterday. The boys will start today. Beverly has a bye. They don't play today. But the Danvers girls were winners. They knocked off Wakefield yesterday, 18-6 the final score. And we have some features up there from that game. And we also will have some features up there probably today on both Beverly and Ipswich girls lacrosse teams. They scrimmaged each other yesterday over in Beverly. And those two teams are getting ready for the tournament. And you remember Brian Seabury, Rick, from the girls' hockey team? Well, Brian is the coach of the Ipswich girls' softball team. And they were, I'm going to use the word, they were horrible the last few years. They just were not winning games. And I'm just kidding with the word horrible. We don't use those words. But they are, they're now over 500. They've qualified for the state tournament. And so thus, they're still working out, getting ready for state tournament play. So congratulations. I mentioned that because it's a great turnaround story in high school sports. But the Ipswich girls softball team. And then, of course, Beverly captured that Corning tournament this past weekend, Saturday, over in Endicott College. They were underdogs there. There's no question about that. But they won the tournament. They scored 23 runs in two games, and they're getting ready for their tournament game. They'll play Classical. I think that game's on Friday. And that those two teams split earlier this year. So there's a few of the notes in sports from yesterday and looking ahead. And, of course, we can't mention all the tournament pairings, but we also have – actually, we have up on the Danvers lacrosse story. We also have the Northeastern Conference Girls Lacrosse All-Stars that were announced yesterday as well. So we have that story up there as well. It's in the headline. So, yeah, a lot of things. We also then will have the Navigators are opening up their season Thursday, so that's tomorrow. They're on the road, then they're home Saturday night for their home opener. So we'll have a post up on that very shortly. Also got a chance to talk to Richard Fecteau. I mean, this is the guy, this is probably the baseball player of the North Shore this spring. He was a senior at Salem State, graduated, and looking to get into the Major League Baseball draft. A lot of folks think that is going to happen. If he gets the word on that in just a few days, then boom, he's off to play somewhere. But he's a senior. He just graduated from Salem State. He's too old for the Navigators. So that tells you all the they have just college players playing for the Navigators, young players. And he's waiting to hear on that. Richard Fecteau from Newbury, Mass., and also from Salem State University. And we'll have that up there later on in the next 24 hours. So, yeah, a lot of stuff.
Sounds good.
All right. So hang in there with us, folks. And, again, you can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at msonewsports. And, again, I guess the big sporting event of the day, or one of them anyway, is that big Super 8 baseball game with St. John's Prep over in Danvers playing host to Braintree today at 4 o'clock. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. This is North Shore Today on msonewsports.com.